The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Okay, the four of you. I'm not sure what I can do that would be most useful to you individually or collectively. With a large group, it's predictable what makes sense to talk about. With a small group, it's not. What would you like me to do for you?
If you have any, professor recommendations, that'd be great, but also
a podcast of professor recommendations?
Yeah. or any courses. I know this debate whether there you should take courses for the bar exam.
Okay.
Maybe your opinion on that.
Should you take courses for the bar exam? You absolutely should take almost every multi-state subject that's tested. You know what the multi-state subjects are?
Some.
Property, courts, contracts, common law, civil procedure, and evidence. Should you take evidence?
Yes.
When should you take evidence? Sometime before you graduate. If you think you want to litigate, and you think you want to get into a litigation-oriented clinic, it would probably help you to take evidence before third year. If you're like I was, which is, you hated oral arguments, you thought you would never litigate. Take your evidence at some point before you graduate, but there's no rush. Okay? So are there any other courses that make sense for you to take, no matter what you're going to do? If you're going to do transactional work, litigation, or public interest work, you should take this assessment. Why? Think you might do transactional work? Business associations is the starting point for a lot of transactions. If you think you're going to litigate, if you've heard me say this before, I apologize. One of our most prominent alums at the law school is, could you guys just come on down? It's Sonny. I'm just being self-centered like professors usually are. This classroom is just so hard to keep people in sight. One of our most successful alums is a guy named Tommy Goldstein, who does Supreme Court litigation. He runs the POTUS blog. Very, very impressive. About 5 years ago, I saw him at the law school and I asked him, what would you advise students who want to litigate? And Tommy's litigated more Supreme Court cases. Anybody in the United States who's not been at the solicitor general of his generation. He's remarkable. I said, what would you advise students to do in terms of academic planning? And he said, I would take the courses that get litigated. What gets litigated? Unless you're going to do criminal work, real estate, employment, corporate, securities, pensions, because that's what people are paid for. So if you want to do litigation, that's great. But get the grounding in a range of courses for which litigation that you want. And for public interest, this association is relevant because if you're in a public interest organization, you're more likely than they'll ask you to talk about a range of, deal with a range of legal issues. And very often, even from nonprofit, you have corporate law type issues, and you have issues that relate to fiduciary obligations. And you learn about fiduciary obligations in business. So, what courses? BA and evidence, when you take it, depends on what course you think you're going to pursue. Other than that, I'm biased. I teach tax. I think tax is a course everybody should be exposed to. Doesn't matter what, unless you think you might be interested in it. Apart from that, is a clinic essential? No. And I know I'll be struck down by lightning at the school for saying that. Do I think it's worthwhile? For many students, yes, but maybe not everybody. Is there a virtue of a full-year clinic over a half-year clinic? Yeah, you get more experience. You get that much more benefits? In my view, probably not. But again, if there's something you're passionate about, whether it's human rights, immigrants' rights, disability rights, I'm trying to think what the other full-year clinics are.
IP.
IP, which is full-year. Then, yeah, those full-year clinics make enormous sense for you. It may not make sense just to get a clinical experience for a full-year. If there are a bunch of other courses. The short answer is, what courses should you take? The answer is, it depends. It depends on where you're going, what your interests are. And are you wallowing, saying, I don't have a clue as to what I want to do? Just most students, or do I really have a focus and how can I move towards that? Are there professors that you should take? Yes. While the podcast is going, I'm not going to say which ones, because I don't want my colleagues, you know, sort of slashing my tires, either for telling students they shouldn't take their courses or that they should. Some of our more students in exams today. We don't get paid extra for having more students in it. Our egos are such, we don't want people to ignore us. Some people take pride in the fact that they scare people. The one resource you absolutely should look at is the faculty evaluation system, students' evaluation of faculty. That's not the only criteria. But if someone's getting twos and threes, that tells you that something bad is going on in the classroom that you may want to avoid. Yeah, you might get personalized information for people who've had those professors. But look at those things, give you a guide as to what may be a good or bad experience for you. Anything else I'm forgetting as a general matter? Just two questions. After the podcast goes off, you want to ask one or one about professors after the gossip. What do you think you're interested in?
I guess I could say I'm kind of interested in business law, but then again, I really don't know. I had an accounting degree, so I mean, accounting's kind of turned me off a little too. But
is that because it's too cookie cutters?
Yeah, I guess so.
A lot of the area of business law, even though they involve finance, use that as a jumping off point. Tends not to be a cookie cutterish type practice. Well, sometimes you're doing due diligence on a big transaction. Okay. What should you do? Take a range of courses that can prepare you for a budget. One of the business practice areas, corporate, securities, tax. Maybe take a course like Ken Anderson's Corporate Finance. I would take courses in labor, I'm sorry, employment law, not labor. Labor is the course that deals with the regulation of the interactions between unions and management. Employment deals with the broader range of issues involving workers and employees. More and more of what businesses deal with is intellectual property. And I would take something in mind here. That stuff is just too important. It also has to be interesting. So those are things I would look at.
I know what I'm interested in, which is why I wanted to get the kind of general perspective. I'm actually interested in IP, and I would take all IP classes if I could, but I want to try to get a more balanced degree and take the. And I was definitely planning on doing evidence and BA. That's why I'm.
Yeah. IP people think of as a monolith, as one discipline.
Oh, no, I'm more interested in copyright, particularly, and also just the internet and tech issues are very interesting to me.
Okay, so you and Professor Carroll and Professor Gazi are going to get to know each other.
Yeah.
That's fine. You may also want to look at perhaps some of the international stuff, because even for some of the domestic IP lawyers, the other stuff is relevant.
Exactly.
You know what you're doing this summer?
Yeah. I'm interning at Broadcasting Board of Governors. It's a federal agency that does a lot of digital and media issues.
Because there's going to be a Belgian professor is going to be teaching license.
Yeah, that's this summer. Yeah, I've heard really great things about him in the class. If I could audit one of the classes, I would be interested in.
You might want to do that.
Yeah.
But he's just tell him, I suggest you do so. because he and I do that.
Okay. I'm also looking for a more global.
More general sense of things?
Yes.
Okay. What I would always encourage you to do, if you don't have another formal obligation to do, is do some writing stuff. What does writing include? You're on a journal, you have to be writing, that's fine. You may want to look at some other places where, consistent with your interest, you do some writing. Courses like Applied Advocacy are very good in that regard. There are seminars where the professor has the writing obligation. Now, different professors are better at sort of supervising and mentoring you on writing than others. Kathy talked to you about that, but I'd get a better sense. But wait till you see as your interest develop more. Question I would always ask is, when you had your oral arguments, was that an ordeal to get through, or was that the most fun stuff you ever had? How would you answer that?
I think I have a lot of work. to do.
Did you enjoy it, or did you not?
On the fence about that, actually.
Okay. Because I've grown a lot since I was a law student, but I hated oral argument. I hated talking in public. And if you told me I'd have to be a litigator, then I'm not law student either. That told me that I shouldn't be looking at litigation oriented courses. Public advocacy might be a little different because what you're doing there is going to be for right as an advocate. That's okay. Anything that teaches you to write better as a legal advocate is a good thing for you. Because contrary to what TV shows tell us, the job of being a lawyer is not to be a great oralist and most communicators. The job of a lawyer is to be a good person. Even litigators, unless you do criminal or insurance defense, don't spend much time in court. You write motions. Have any of you, do any of you have a strong interest in criminal stuff? Interest in criminal stuff, then there are things you should do to develop that expertise. I would advise you all, because you have to take criminal procedure in the fall. There are other things you can do. There are a way different criminal courses. You can also take criminal trial practice or the criminal clinic, third year. Professor Davis, third year, has a course on criminal defense. There are Professor Robbins does a course in seminar on post-conviction remedies, which is habeas corpus. I think Professor Vladek is going to teach a course in habeas corpus. Vladek's more likely to talk about the point of view of terrorism and the rights of terrorists. That's what his passion lies for years. Professor Robbins will teach it more from the perspective of general prisoners' rights. And that's a very, very interesting question. You're going to do criminal, clearly do something, clearly get evidence under your belt, because that's where you need to get the evidence for your rules, which is your favorite case. Most lawyers don't need it, but they make it criminal lawyers do. Take some skills related course in the criminal area, trial advocacy, and take some supporting courses in the NCA. Could be white collar crime. I can't think of others, but they're probably interesting. In addition to everything I've said, you should definitely take at least one course a year, maybe one course a semester, that you take merely because it sounds like it's going to be interesting. You know what will strike you as just says, gee, this sounds like fun. It sounds interesting. It could be a course on anti-piracy in the IP. I don't know if I'd be interested in that. There are other interesting courses that just might strike you as such interesting information. If I were looking to advise people who just don't know what it's like to, this might be interesting. I would take a course in bankruptcy for foundation. And you're looking at me like, why would you do that? In every transaction, whether it's a licensing transaction, a real estate transaction, or general private transaction, there's a certain you should always be aware of is what happens if everything goes wrong. And what is wrong is people. That's a litigation area, it's a transactional area, it's important for the society. I have a strong bias, and I don't know why I have this employee, why this is important. And it can surface any number of different areas. Immigration. mission is interesting to me. It wouldn't have been interesting to me when I was in law school. This immigration law was sort of this sort of sideline. It wasn't terribly important either politically or society. Now I think I really recognize that. I don't know if there's any of the crazy, bizarre seminars that I've heard from. It just sounds like a people. Before you do that, check what the professors evaluations are. If you're doing something because it's fun, it's going to be a real deal. Professor doesn't work well with students. That's what he's doing. You guys are paying too much for this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I'm pretty interested in administrative law. I worked in.
What do you mean by administrative law?
Well, I worked in government and state politics stuff for the past 3 years, and so I have a couple of policy backgrounds that I'm decent at. So I was trying to kind of keep with those, and so I was wanting to do stuff maybe at the federal agency level.
When you say stuff, what do you mean stuff? Don't take ace credit for that. You thought you wouldn't have that here, didn't you?
Yes.
And I'm asking, should I be less?
No, that's totally fine. I worked for the elected officials on the legislative side, and then, you know, really grew to have a lot of respect for the administrative agencies that then had to implement the nuances of the issues. And a lot of times we would actually go to them to
did
figure
out. Did you like the nuance or did you like the process? And here's the reason I say it was about tormenting. Oh, that's very funny. There's a course called Administrative Law. That course deals with three types of issues. First is separation of powers. Does the executive branch have the authority to do this? Is that judicial or legislative? The legislative branch, keep its finger in the pot to make sure the executive do the right things. Those sort of separation of powers issues is covered usually in administrative. Second thing it deals with is when the court's evaluating what an administrative agency has done, how much deference they give the administrative agency. That the contemporary view of that arises under the case case you give enormous deference, or you give a deference, or a minimal deference. That degree of deference you give to an agency's determination is the second issue. The third is the technical issue of one of the requirements of the Administrative Procedure Act and the agency issues of regulation. Those are technical administrative law issues. From my perspective, I love the questions the government struggles with. But I don't find those issues really important. What I care about is how does the Environmental Protection Agency have the power to determine that carbon dioxide is a pollutant? And if so, what can it do? Does it have the power, not procedurally, how we decide this decision? Second, does the Securities and Exchange Commission have the power to go after Goldman Sachs? And if so, how? Those are the substance of the responsibility of the administrative agencies, not the procedural, the constitutional overlay. If you're interested in the first three sets of issues, you should definitely take administrative. If not, you should take a bunch of courses that it would be substantive law for the agencies to work. If you're looking at an area, I don't know why I say this, maybe you've never heard of this area, health law, the regulatory regime governed by health law is vast and it's only going to go faster. And it's an area where a lot of the rules are being developed right now. It'll take something to help on something in environmental protection. Wonderful professor. We're not talking about professors generally. He's a professor who teaches environmental laws and ethics at Barry Green. I used to be the academic dean of the academic dean at this school, and I've looked at all the professors' evaluations. Always join us in this. So look at some of the areas where you think those issues sounded like fun, and actually take courses in. My background is in taxation. Clark, I work in a private law firm. I work in the government agency and treasury department. I work on legislation with members of Congress, and I've done some consulting with the Congressional Joint Committee on Taxation. An interplay between the executive branch and the Congress, the legislation is huge. You may also want to pay something in what's called legislation.
I'm in it right now.
So I'll take it again. But those are the sort of things you might want.
I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm looking at admin law, and you're going to ask specifics about it. I'm not sure.
So if you're not sure, at some point, take it. But unlike business associations as a threshold basic course for going forward, admin is a course that you can take. But because other courses cannot be built upon it, unless you're on the admin law review, take it whenever you want. It need not be taken.
Can I ask a question? So,
There are too many people asking
questions. So, administrative law doesn't really deal with. I feel like we haven't dealt with law at that level
Chevron.
Yet. I'm sorry.
Chevron is the. Chevron is an oil company that was challenging the EPA regulation, and that was the standard which the case was Scalia first established. Courts should give enormous deference to the federal agencies in their legislation. But they're the substance of facts what agencies do.
No, I guess I was just asking, I don't know, you mentioned separation of powers. Okay, well, we did that in common law. And, you know, you'd mentioned kind of the other issues, which I'm forgetting what they are now, 2 and 3.
Degree of deference and administrative procedure.
That's right. So I guess maybe in 3 was kind of where my question was more involved in just kind of the processes at the administrative level. Because to me, I mean, from what I know about it, they seem to be pretty different than what they would be in any sort of federal or state court.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So are those addressed in administrative law?
Administrative processes, yes.
Okay.
In the sense of when you plan to come out with a regulation, publish it in the proposed form. You invite comments. Look at what the comments are and formally respond to them as to why you do it without making adjustments. Those are questions that a company administrative law should. It's a very separate question. And people who teach ad law, Professor Lovers, Professor Verona, Professor Coughlin, a recollection on valuations is only one factor. Is Burl is probably the most popular and popular than Lovers. Ask me who knows the most. Pretty Lovers. He's one of the nation's experts on it. He's a good friend. He's very good. Everybody, any of you have Professor Burl?
He teaches contracts also, right?
He teaches contracts. What else? Are there any courses you're thinking about that you're looking at the syllabus and saying, maybe that sounds interesting.
There's like this medical liability course taught by Professor Pavsner.
Okay. That's, of course, really not practicing.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that appeals to me. That's fine. I think if you're going to be politics or defense for work, that's, of course, you should be defense for a while. If created by the cases and laws. A course that sort of combines that, a background in that, and regulatory stuff, the speech about law, maybe not Professor Grossman. You want the same side. Some of you have to have had some of the first year professors, and I'm not sure if there are a whole lot of you in my sections. A lot of the malpractice arises in connection with medical and pharmaceutical medicine. Those questions can arise. Yes.
Yes.
I probably should know this. What's the difference between a regular class and a seminar?
I think regular classes typically start with 600, regular seminars start with 700. There's often no difference. Seminars frequently but not always will have a paper requirement. Seminars will have limited enrollment most of the time. But it used to be that curriculum was about a third of what it is there. Courses were big, seminars were small, but now there's a gradation. You can't talk about this. You want to see if there's a paper requirement. It will not be that in the course, but there may be that.
The courses that are TBA, do we know when?
When they'll be in?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Some of those they're trying to find professors, or they found a professor but they've not been formally hired. My wife's one of those problems. My wife teaches a part of advocacy. I'd say take hers, but I'm not sure she's going to teach it because we're co-teaching. Can't teach next year and she she's limited to number of students. She's taught advocacy and she runs about six societies. Which is busy in some other things. But I don't know when they will be. Just send an email to the registrar and you
just. Logistically, I guess it doesn't make any sense to sign up for it, or...
Okay, now we're talking strategy here.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. Strategy is always good. There are some courses which the enrollments will never fill. If you want to get Jones and evidence, you better sign up for it. If you want to take Siegel, the business associations, I think it's absolutely wonderful that she has a reputation for being limited. Chances are that there's a good chance that will be in any spaces. What you should always do is if you want a particular professor who signed up, sign up for waiting lists and watch when over the course of the summer the spaces are released. Particularly for the evening sections, there's some wonderful teachers in the evening. If a course is taught both day and evening, slots are reserved for evening students. They're blocked out for some of the international courses. Slots are blocked out for the LLM students who will sign up later. At some point, those slots, those blocks will be released and slots will open up. When that happens, you can sneak and go into courses that might have. But for the TBA professors, chances are a whole bunch of people are not going to sign up for those right away. So keep an eye for one of those and see if that works.
I'm a little confused exactly on timing. I understand the priority of the grouping, and then can you just go back into the system regularly and update?
If there's not a waiting list,
okay,
and you decide, somehow or another you find out that. This is the most fun stuff in the world. And you decide that July 10th, switch it. You can drop that through the website. Is it through My American Skill? So that's no problem. Keep an eye on the courses, see if anything opens up. the proposed change. In the past, by the time that groups 9 and 10, second year, get around to registering, it looks like there's nothing for you. Do not despair. Things happen. Based on past history, and I'm not suggesting you do this, 30 to 40 students register. Even if they registered ahead of you, you drop out. A lot of people register strategically. This pisses me off. We have about 200 students who have been accepted into their credit. They will take 7 credits next fall. Strategically, they choose not to register for the credit because their spots are reserved. So they'll park in a bunch of courses, locking them out. They will drop some of those. So courses will open up. Even if you feel like, oh my God, I got to pay 4 different sections of basic taxes, the only courses I can, that will not be. Yeah, over here, and I'm sorry, I don't know your names. So if you're in the class, my class, I'll probably remember your names. You talked about doing some work in a regulatory agency. You may want to consider doing an externship. Feel experience there, see what it's like to work there, and get them familiar with it. But ideally, you want to have a sense of what interests you. Last fall, I supervised one of my former students who was doing work at the Medicare agency that is dealing with Medicare fraud. She's in healthcare, so she focuses on those agencies. Something that seems like a question. Possibly by getting people to know the quality of your work, something important. At the very least, it gives you a credential.
Regarding available courses that are available, is that just on the registrar's website? Is that the most reliable place to go? Or?
The registrar's website has fairly up to the minute.
Okay.
Thank you so much. That was really helpful.
Yeah, thank you.
One other thing I'll say, you can turn off the computers on the photos. International law. How many of you are interested in international law? Okay.
Is it good to just take it and know something about it? Or?
I think it's good to know something about international law. And the one course I would definitely not take to learn something about international law is the course titled International Law. And this is clearly my own personal craziness. I remember when I was in law school, I took civil procedure. It seemed like every time we read a case, just as the case was almost getting interesting, they went off in these irrelevant tangents. That was my view of civil procedure. I think international law is like that. They stop short of talking about all the interesting international questions. Are there international law? Would you do well to have some exposure to international law? Sure. It depends on what your area of interest is. If you're really interested in business, take a course like international business. If you're really interested in IP, take a comparative copyright and international law. If you're really interested in international, criminal law, maybe take something like from the International Criminal Court courses. There's a lot of stuff that's very rich in the curriculum. But take something that really is interesting, because it both is international and really gels with your interests. The one course I would not really focus on is international law. And if you think something might be just fun, yeah, the law of war, international humanitarian law, the national security law, that deals with some of the issues in a more concrete setting. Those are fun too. I think those could be in the category, since we're not focused on international law, just might be fun. So pick it for fun because it's something you don't know, you might be interested in. It sort of fits within your area of stuff I'm interested in. Okay? Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Nice to have a little general advising session. I think people have been advised.